is the Kevin Shi Show.
Welcome to a special edition of the Kevin Shi Show of your host, Kevin Shi. The reason why I did a special podcast today is because of the coronavirus. It's now mid to late February, and the virus has started since maybe end of January. It has hit us by storm. Now, it has a lot of impact on a lot of my friends. Some of my friend, my partner, Matthew, for example, his family is in China. So now basically he's stuck in home quarantine for more than a month now. They're not allowed to leave the apartment at least 3 days a week once. And even if they do, there's nowhere to go. Some people are trying to return to China, to Shenzhen, only to be blocked. Taiwan and many countries now have restrictions for us living in Hong Kong that if you go there, you will be quarantined or you're not allowed to go there, period, until the virus is over. So it's having a lot of effect on us. A lot of my friends' restaurants are going out of business. They can't pay rent. Fortunately, my investment portfolio is doing okay because I'm quite diversified in different things, in different countries, different sectors. I mean, it's not going up, but I'm still collecting dividends as okay, so again, this is good to have a stable, well-diversified portfolio. That's very important as you go on in life. But today, I interview Michael Michelini again. The reason I'm interviewing him is because his family is locked down in Shenyang while he's in the Philippines, and he's doing e-commerce. All three areas of his life is having impact. So we hear firsthand how he is in Asia, how the coronavirus is affecting him. So please enjoy this episode. Thank you.
Welcome to the latest episode of the Kevin Shi Show. I'm your host, Kevin Shi. Today, we have a recurring guest, Michael Michelini. Michael's third time on my show, and each time he has a lot of story to tell. This time, an update about the coronavirus. So welcome back, Michael.
Thanks for having me, Kevin. It's a pleasure.
A lot of crazy stuff has been going on, man.
Yeah, I was checking. I think we talked about it a little bit over a month ago, 5 weeks ago, February, mid-February. I just checked the history.
So tell us, last time you were here, last time in our podcast, you said, you know, your e-commerce business was stalled, and then your in-laws was in trouble with getting hospital care, and then China was in lockdown. Now it seems like the role has been reversed.
It's true. I think we have friends in America who are in lockdown. I was in the Philippines. It's on complete lockdown. I think most parts of Europe are on lockdown or shut down, quarantine. But since then, my family in China, my wife and my children and my in-laws, they're all normal life now, just wearing masks. But I mean, going outside, businesses are reopening, you know, deliveries are happening, offices reopening, everything.
Okay, so tell us the adventure that you had ever since last time we talked to you. So you went to Manila, and then what happened?
Yeah, so I was in Manila, Philippines, with Alpha Rock Capital, where I'm a partner and active managing partner there. And what happened was I went down to a smaller island for a team retreat for my blog and my content marketing business. The island is called Bohol, B-O-H-O-L, which is a small town, island town near Cebu, actually, about an hour and a half flight.
Okay.
And what happened was, I think that was March 12th, Friday, Thursday, my flight. And it was just about, there was starting to be more cases in Manila of the virus, of COVID-19 or coronavirus. And they were talking about it more and more. And there was rumors of a lockdown, but I still went to the airport like normal. And I flew to Bohol like normal on Thursday, March 12th.
Okay.
I think when, at least in the Philippines, started getting crazy. They started shutting down airports. They said airlines would stop going to Manila, to or from Manila, starting on the...
So why did you decide to leave Philippines? Why can't you just hunker down and just stay there?
I guess I could have. The hard part for me was I went down about, you know, I took a small domestic flight to another city. I couldn't get back to Manila.
Okay.
Once they stopped.
Okay.
I couldn't get back. I can't even get back to my apartment. I'm talking to you in China. I had to leave my keys with a friend in Cebu, which is a city in the south of the Philippines, because I couldn't go to Manila and I couldn't mail my keys to anybody in Manila to enter my apartment to help me get anything.
You can't even travel within the Philippines.
So I was basically with carry-on luggage, you know, very light, like travel for like a 3-day trip in the islands. You know, I didn't carry a lot of stuff. I was in hotels or I was in friends' houses. They even didn't let me stay at a friend's house because of the virus. They had no visitor policies. So I had a chance to get a flight. Actually, they canceled my flight four times. Because one, my Manila flight got canceled. Mm-hmm. I booked a flight to China that got canceled. I went again to try to fly. this time I didn't book any other flights, but the Mormon Church booked a whole flight. The whole plane got booked by the the Mormon Church, all these this whole community. And then finally, I got one of the last flights out of the Philippines. It's totally grounded right now as we record this.
Okay, so you had to go back to Manila to get your stuff, right?
I left my keys with my friend in Cebu, so I don't even have my keys to my own apartment. But I have friends in Manila to help me get the stuff. I told the landlord, there's all these details, but basically my landlord wouldn't help us break into the apartment before the lockdown. We were trying to have somebody break in, not break in, but change the lock to get my stuff, but he wouldn't do it. So we are basically, I'm not going back to that apartment. My friends are going to basically box my stuff up for me and take it out whenever the lockdown comes out, maybe in mid-April. But basically all my stuff is in there. Even my microphone for the podcast. I have a lapel mic. I'll give you the audio. It's an external microphone I'm recording this on. But it's just been total chaos. It's just been unbelievable chaos for me for like 2 weeks, a week and a half solid.
So, and then you decided to go back to China.
Yeah, the wife was thinking it's just better to be here, safer to be here. Honestly, the Chinese is kind of, I don't know how to say this politically correct, but they kind of like, the news and the way they're spinning this is like China was doing it correctly and the rest of the world doesn't know how to handle this. And it's going to be worse there.
Okay. So your wife, last time we spoke to you, your wife is in Shenyang. So how is it in Shenyang now?
Yeah. So that's where I am. I'm in a hotel in Shenyang. It's northeast Dongbei or northeast China. It's a little bit chilly.
How is it there? Like everybody's still wearing a mask. Everything's opened. It's a factory.
Yeah. Basically, things are mostly back to normal, but everybody has a mask. I can only look through my one window in an apartment. But I mean, buses and cars and bicycles are passing with people on masks. It's all back to normal. But I think that they're still hurting because, well, every economy is reliant on other economies, right? The import, export, trading. So, I mean, all of that's got to be getting hurt. If the West is not, I've heard there's a lot of cancellations with orders from factories, you know, things like this.
How's it affecting your e-commerce business? I heard Amazon stopped delivering anything except essential supplies related to the virus.
Yeah, it's really hurt. It's really hurt. I mean, we had to really cut costs. We had to really cut back. I mean, it's been really hard conversations with a lot of people. Basically, Amazon's kind of under a lot of strain and they're prioritizing certain products. They're not receiving other products. We have goods that we didn't get to ship into Amazon that we had manufacturing made. You know, I think you and listeners could understand it takes a couple of months lead time, right, to order from a factory.
You do in a quarantine. Hong Kong has not been in a complete lockdown. I mean, we can still go out. We're not encouraged to go out. I mean, as of now, the bars are closed and many restaurants voluntarily closed for dinner, but you can still go out.
Oh, really?
Yeah, I try to stay away from crowded places, especially even outside. But other than that, we're pretty much okay. I mean, the transfer system is still open. But how's it like to be in quarantine in a hotel room for like 14 days? Isn't that like jail?
It seems like jail. I mean, I can't really give you too much insight. It's only been day three. Somebody on my Facebook just said, put a sign on my above my computer says, I am stronger than I know. You know, I think we all work online, right? I mean, you know, that's the beauty of what we do. We can work online. But, you know, I think about my daily routine. I work in my mornings and then I usually go out for lunch or I go out after lunch. I take a walk or I go shopping or I go to a restaurant or a coffee shop. There's just people in hazmat suits in the hallway. It seems like one of those horror movies, you know, they have those blue and white suits and they don't let you go outside the door. And then I open the door, they knock on the door and deliver you like your meal, every meal. They put it on your doorstep. So it's, and it's like standard Chinese food and, you know, rice and just this kind of cafeteria style Chinese food.
Sure, your temperature every day?
Yeah. So for me, I have to do it myself. And they I'm the only foreigner that I know of, except maybe Koreans and maybe other.
Anybody in your batch that got sick?
I don't think anybody is sick, but I had a coronavirus test yesterday. I haven't gotten my results yet. But yeah, I mean, other people are worried. What if there's somebody that's sick is in the building. I don't think they don't put the air conditioner on because they think that they say the air conditioner is how the virus can spread through the air conditioning, central air. But basically, yeah, I mean, I'm just in a standard, like I'd say 3-star hotel, you know, Chinese style hotel. You know, I'm sitting at this desk, the standard desk, you know, that like straight desk with it, rolling chair, and I have my bed, and then I have a standard bathroom, and then just deliveries coming. They let you order online groceries, or a couple friends have asked me for my address here and mailed me some peanuts and some juices and other things, so you can get deliveries. But yeah, okay. You just can't leave, and they chain lock the window, so I can crack it open like a little bit, but you know, the same kind of chain lock that goes on a door, so that you can't you crack the door open. It's the same as on the window, so you can crack it open like a door.
How's the situation outside? I mean, once your wife is not quarantined, is she free to go anywhere?
Everyone else is free. The other fear I have is there's been some anti-foreigner, they feel that we are carrying viruses, because the news keeps saying foreigners are, you know, outside China, people are bringing the virus in now. It's like an imported case. There's signs, okay. I can send you some pictures. There's gyms in Shanghai that say, sorry, foreign friends, we cannot accept foreigners to the gym due to the imported cases of coronavirus. So a lot of us are upset, because it's also Chinese that are coming back. Actually, of course, there's more Chinese coming back to China than foreigners coming into China, right? And those people are also bringing in the virus, right? So why are you looking at the color of my skin and saying that that's... And they're even doing it to foreigners that haven't left China in months. They're just saying, you're a foreigner, you might have the virus, you can't come into our restaurant, you can't come to our gym, things like that. Hotels, international hotels. This has been happening this week. So it's really sad, honestly.
And
but
what has happened in Philippines ever since you left? Has it gone worse?
It's totally locked down. My friend Josh that I was staying with in Cebu, he says, good thing I left a couple of days ago, because now the airport's totally shut down and everybody can't even leave your house now.
It's like Wuhan.
Yeah, it's like Wuhan. The sad thing about the Philippines is, as we probably most listeners know, is obviously they're not the richest country with abundant resources like, you know, China or US or Hong Kong or other economies. So they don't have enough tests. They can't test. And I've seen letters. It's really sad, but letters from hospitals saying, please, we cannot accept more patients. We're totally at capacity.
This goes back to the story that we talked about. It's not just a virus anymore. Like, if you had a heart attack or asthma or diabetes, you can't be treated, period.
Exactly. It's really sad. And, you know, China was able to build a hospital in like a week or something crazy like that, you know, but of course, Philippines couldn't afford to do something like that.
The question is, even if it's technically contained or settled, right, in China or elsewhere, would you dare to go back to like places like the Philippines? Because so many people are untested, right? And based on what we know, a lot of them don't show symptoms until very late or even not at all.
Yeah.
Right. So
I had this funny conversation. I came to Cebu, right? So Bohol is like a ferry ride. So it's an island near Cebu. So I took it and I got stuck in Cebu. So I messaged, you know, we both have a lot of friends in places. So I hit up a friend and I had a call with him, and he's just like, you could tell he didn't want me to go. You can kind of tell, like, you can kind of just get this feeling like, sorry man, I'm not feeling well, I don't want you to get sick from me. But I'm like, I had this feeling like maybe he's thinking he doesn't want me to go there. I mean, like, it's kind of like those, it's just really like those movies. Like, people, I'm afraid it's gonna just really change society in long. I don't know how long this is gonna have an effect on human interactions, right? Like,
I think we're gonna be in this kind of, even if Hong Kong, Singapore, Korea, China goes back to near normal, right? I think nations and nations gonna have quarantine among each other for a long, long time, because none of these nations gonna 100% recover, right, for a long time. Mm-hmm. And if you let one country back in, what if somebody else come from the other country, right? So this semi quarantine is gonna have a huge impact on the economy, I think.
It's nuts. I mean, even in a bigger picture, I mean, let's hope nobody manufactured this virus on purpose. There's obviously conspiracy theories or stories, but regardless of how it came, it's just another anti-globalization event. I think you had me first on a show about the trade war, and then this whole the whole Hong Kong unrest, and now there's this virus. Like, it's all anti-globalization, anti-cross-border, anti, you know, travel, anti, like, more about like separation of, you know, people or groups of people, right? Like, now people are going to come back to your home country, stay in your home country, same back to the trade war, to Donald Trump, the Brexit, the China, the Hong Kong, like all of these things are just like separations and walls going up, which is, I'm not sure about everyone listening or you, but for me, I'm trying the other way, man. I came to China many years ago. I thought there was gonna be like the world is flat, globalization, free trade. You know, I thought that was where we were going, but it just, all of this stuff is going the other way, like putting walls up, borders, immigration, trade wars, tariffs, you know, uprisings or, you know, social unrest. It's just sad and scary. The world's going the opposite way that I would have hoped it would go, you know?
But we see a lot of potential dangers in complete globalization until we sort of have like a new virus or like wealth inequality and all that. These are things that's going to stick with us in one form or another going forward if globalization would continue. So what's next? What's your plan? Are you going to plan to stay in Shenyang for a while? Can you manage your business from there?
Yeah, I mean, I've been pivoting, you know, honestly, for me with the role with AlphaRock is business development, investor relations, you know, networking. So that's kind of obviously slowed down. We're not really raising money, and we're just mostly on a cost savings mode. So I've gone on a less active role in as management. Okay. I'm going back to my old trading roots, my old import export roots. You know, like I know it's kind of almost weird. Like everybody's jumping on this mask and health supplies, but you know, I'm in China. I have my wife and my network and community of Chinese factories. So we're jumping head first into helping people source and receive these supplies and products, as well as making a platform for that, for like group buying and distribution, calling it load pipe. And it's basically back to my old roots of how I came to China. It's like 10 years all over again, 10 years ago again. I even feel like with my content and everything, it's back to this trading, but it's going to be needed because people aren't going to be able to travel to China as easily anymore. Just like 10, 15 years ago,
these borders are not coming back down for a long while, or even if they do, it's going to be in selected countries or cities. I mean, it's not going to be like the old days for a long time. What about the virus? Do you think it's going to get much worse, or you think we're seeing almost the peak of it?
I think it just kind of depends on how the people in the specific countries treat it. You know, like even my parents didn't take it so seriously. Even like a week ago, they just say, they think it's some, you know, like, especially the way Donald Trump was saying it's not serious. It's like the flu. I mean, even a couple of weeks ago, I think he said something like he was always downplaying it, right? And the people weren't taking it as serious. And there was those spring break pictures. I don't know how serious that was. That really what people were, like college kids were partying in Florida, like a week or two ago. I mean,
yeah, I think so. Well, think about it. Like, it's just like everything else in life. If you never experienced one big crisis in your life, you wouldn't know how to prepare for it. I mean, we're lucky in Asia, especially Hong Kong, Singapore, that we experienced SARS. So everybody's taking a precaution. And even that, we have like 400 cases right now, right? So if you've never had it, right? And also for young people, right? The risk benefit analysis, people are selfish. You know, if I get it, you know, 98% of the chances I'm not going to die from it. But, you know, you're stopping me from going to once a year, you know, spring break, etc. Right?
Yeah.
That's why people are motivated to do what's best interest for them, unfortunately.
Yeah. If people have to learn the hard way, which seems like, I don't know how, you know, I'm trying to do the math of how many people it is, but I think that America and the rest of the world is taking it serious now. And I'm thinking summer. I hope summer is when we're back kind of to normal, but that's still a couple of months.
They're talking about like the dance is like seeing the rate of infection. If it's below one, then they'll relax a bit. If it's above one, they know that they'll lock down again. It's like continue like on and off, because you can't lock down forever, right?
Yeah.
Again, you can't, you know, if it's going to keep on spreading, then they're going to have to lock down. So I think it's going to be like a dance like that, you know, eventually to die it out. Anyways, it's complicated stuff. I don't really see a V-shaped recovery in the world. Do you?
No, I don't think so either. I mean, people are going to be slow to come back, especially if you say it's like this dancing, right? If there's this, people are just not going to be really sure. Is it gone? Is it going to come back? Yeah. But I guess this is going to be another opportunity of a new industry or the old industry. There's going to be a whole shakeup, right, of industry, you know? It's just going to change the way.
Let's talk positive. What kind of opportunities do you see going forward? E-commerce is going to have a big
bump,
I think.
E-commerce for sure. You know, people working online, you know, even 5, 10, 20 years ago, people were joking about, you know, these make money online. I mean, I never really like to sell scams, but more and more people are going to have to work online. You know, it's just the way it's going to have to be. So any kind of tools, obviously, I think Zoom and these other tools, even Microsoft, I think, bumped up because of that. The other one is online education. It seems so obvious to me, right? All these schools have to have the teachers at home, the kids at home, the parents at home. I think there's going to have to be better online education. And I think even if they go back to school, they're going to start, I think they're going to always have some more online element after this, just even just to protect in case this happens again. There, maybe it'll be an offline and online style school model coming out of this.
So if you have any advice for people who are like a digital nomad or living in a developing country, what advice would you have for them if they're not locked down yet? Do you think they should get back? But where there is to go? I mean, if you go to the US, that's even worse, right?
Yeah, I mean, literally just made that decision. No, I mean, I remember, I can't figure out how true some of these articles are or how fact, but there was some article like, I'm an American, I'm a US citizen, who said like, you have a week to decide if you want to come back or not, or, you know, or wait a long time to come back if you don't come back now. I guess there's going to be a risk for people to decide where is their, maybe they're going to have to need a home base in the future. There's a lot of people thought it'd be cool to have no home, but then when this stuff happens, you have not many places to go. I met somebody on my journey back to China in Korea. He's an American. He couldn't even re-enter Taiwan, which was his quote-unquote home, but he was never really a permanent resident, you know, so he couldn't re-enter when they put a lockdown when he was in the Philippines. So he's going back to the U.S. because he just has no choice of where else to go. I mean, a lot of people are going back to their home country right now. So I think the tip is, if you're really serious about traveling long-term, you know, try to get a Hong Kong. You know, Hong Kong is amazing if you can get a Hong Kong ID and work towards that program. I wish I never did that.
I guess compared to other places, Hong Kong is pretty ideal to be right now, given we all have 400 cases and it's not exponential right now. Like, it's pretty linear. We still have new cases, but it's pretty linear still.
Yeah, so it seems like Hong Kong is a good place, or, you know, maybe having a, you know, it's always been a good hub to be in, and I know obviously a little bit higher cost of living, but there, or Singapore, or, you know, even in, you know, different parts of Europe or in the Western world, there's the quote unquote first world, second world, third world, you know, so you might want to just be, I don't want to strike fear with people, but honestly, I was in Cebu with my friend's house, and he's the reason I was able to stay there when I got to my other friend's place was because the management of the other place is a gated community, so they wouldn't let visitors. But when I went to my other friend's home, he had like a two-story house. It was anybody could go anywhere. The fear I had was I heard stories of others getting robbed. But in outskirts of Manila, some people started to take advantage of this lockdown or breaking into houses. Yeah, they feel they have an opportunity. Maybe they're at home. Maybe it's truly hunger, right? Because there's, you know, when you get hungry and you have no job and you have no income, you know, your mind is different, right? I hope
so,
none of us.
So you're saying like in places like Philippines and all that, maybe like crime's gonna go way up in the next few months.
Honestly, I think I don't know about you, but I have an amazing online team there, and you know, our Alpha Rocks there, and I think they're in the smaller communities, because sadly a lot of people don't have like these companies paying them. They just pay by hour, pay by project, or they're, you know, so they're not working, they're not getting income, and they always live paycheck to paycheck. You ask any Filipino, they'll save money, or they're not able to save. So you cut off their payroll within a couple weeks, they have nothing. So, I mean, I don't know what would you do? What would I do if you have a family, you have no income, you're hungry? I don't know.
Maybe get admitted to the hospital, but there's no beds anymore.
yeah.
Anyways, it's good having you again. I mean, this ongoing situation is very fluid and exponential. So maybe in about 1 or 2 weeks, the situation will completely change again. But I wish you all the best. Take care. Stay safe. And keep in touch. Again, you're Michael Michelini. If people want to reach out to you, they can find you on Facebook or LinkedIn, right?
Yeah, those are good. Or mikesblog.com is an easy one to remember for my content, my stories. Like it.
Okay. Thank you very much, Mike. Awesome.
Thanks, Kevin.
Bye-bye.
Thanks for listening. For details on this episode, go to kevinshee.com. That's Kevin, SHEE.com.